Welcome to the Locke Associates Group series of podcasts, where you'll get to know our experts, who will take you through our legal, HR, wellbeing, and mediation services, giving you a deeper insight as to why people are our business.
I'm Paul Harvey. Welcome to the Locke Associates Group series of podcasts. And I'm delighted to introduce Pam Locke and Joe Milner for this podcast episode. And we'll be talking about what new businesses need to know to make starting up in business a success. But before we embark on the topic, Pam, I'm going to ask you first to describe what you do at Locke Associates.
Well, Paul, we have a strap line that says people are a business, and that's exactly what we do. We help businesses look after their people because quite often it's the most important resource for them. From the beginning of the relationship, before you know, in the recruitment process and retaining them and training and induction, right the way through to obviously creating contracts, dealing with peer reviews. And it's all about how you look after your staff. And sometimes there's disputes, sometimes there's grievances. It's how do you get them resolved. And the main thing is we've got HR consultants that can help businesses really focus on what they do best, which is running the business. And we focus on what we do best, which is looking after the people. And then we've also got a wellbeing side, which is really important at the moment to help businesses look after their physical and their mental health of their staff. And I'm a solicitor, and we've also got an employment law business as part of the group, which obviously specialises in employment law. So that's all we do day in, day out. Mm. And I'm joined by Joe, who's also an employment lawyer with us.
You're a very busy person. Besides being the founder of the business, you're a practising lawyer during the day as well.
I am, yes. So I spent 20 years plus specialising in employment law and working in HR. And I've dealt with a lot of startup companies and new businesses. And I've seen them, you know, I was just actually talking about a client that's been around for the same amount of time as we have. We've been started the business in 2007. And, you know, we've been advising them all the way through from the startup point. They've gone through, and you know, changes in staff, changes in structure. So there's lots of things can happen from, you know, the outset. And it's interesting, just look, I was reminiscing actually looking back at what they were like when they started up in 2007.
A lot's been going on since then. So, okay, Pam, thanks for that. And I'm going to now pass on to Joe Milner. Joe, good to talk to you. Could you describe your role within Locke Associates?
Yeah, hi there, Paul. So I am a solicitor with Locke Employment Law, part of the Locke Associates Group. And I actually started with Pam back in 2013 as an administrative apprentice. And through that, I then continued on to train as a lawyer, carry out my law degree locally at Canterbury Christchurch University. And throughout that time, I've stayed with Pam, who's provided me support throughout my training, and I recently qualified this year back in January as a solicitor with also high rights of audience too. So as well as doing day-to-day employment work, I also do advocacy in courts and tribunals on behalf of our clients.
Thank you, Joe. Congratulations on that qualification.
Thank you.
Let's move on to the topic now, and we're going to be talking about what new businesses need to know. So Joe, I'm going to come to you first now. And when it comes to starting a business, which is a very exciting and challenging time, let's cover the sort of things that we need to consider, an employer needs to consider at that early stage.
So anyone starting a business is going to have a multitude of considerations to think about. That is from how am I going to trade as a business? Am I going to trade as a sole trader? Or am I looking to incorporate a business? And there are different factors that an individual needs to consider at that stage as to which body they're going to trade through. A lot of our clients will go down with us to incorporate a company. Quite often it will be an incorporation. And there are various documents and considerations at that stage about how that new startup is going to operate. It may be that there's one director. It may be that you're going into a business with two, three, four, maybe five people. And that in itself then creates quite a multitude of documentation, from articles of association, shareholder agreements, partner agreements. And looking outside from the agreements of the company, there's also going to be decisions about, well, who are we going to bank with? Who's going to set up our website? What is our website going to look like? Are we going to have logos on there? One thing that we have from our experience is it's very important now to ensure that you're getting your domain names and your logos names trademarked too. It's no longer the days where just incorporating a company is enough to protect you.
It's a very streamlined process here, and it's a combination of legal advice and general business support as well. But of course, your strengths are on the legal side. So do you think businesses aren't aware of the support you can give business generally?
I think so, yeah. I think sometimes some people can see you as just being an employment lawyer and all you do is sit and do contracts all day, which is completely different to what we actually do. So we do actually have a much wider role because we often get to know, you know, when you get working with a business, we understand the dynamics and we have to understand the impact of certain decisions they're making. So, for example, if you're exiting a director, how does that impact on the business? So we're often looking at it holistically in a much more rounded way than people might understand. So as a result of doing that, we have got a wealth of experience built up over the many years we've been practicing about how businesses run and the impact of decisions. So one of the key things is making sure you get it set up right in the first place. So, you know, often it's worth spending some money getting someone like us, you know, a firm like us to actually create the documents for you because you're not experts in this area. And one of the things that we've encountered are people who, obviously, it's a fantastically exciting time when you're setting up a business. Sometimes you focus on the more interesting things, and, you know, things like shareholder agreements might not be that interesting. They also introduce areas that actually sometimes can be quite challenging, talking about, you know, what happens if we fall out and things don't work out, or what happens if you decide to leave and employment, what happens to your shares. But these are discussions that are best had while you're on, you know, you're both in a good mindset, rather than trying to deal with it when there's been a fallout, things aren't going well, because it's then very difficult to then sort the situation out. It's even more difficult if you don't have a shareholders agreement. So quite often, you know, it's worth investing the money and using us to actually create the documents that work for you at the outset, realising that we've actually got the expertise to help you get it set up as friendly as possible and as amicably as possible, because, you know, we want the business to be a success. And then we'd love to stay involved in working with the business, and hopefully if there is a pattern of ways, it can then be a more amicable pattern of ways, you know, relying on the documents that have been put in place.
You're even sort of working out an exit strategy for a business, even at that point of its inception as well.
Yeah, and that sounds a bit odd, but actually it does work, you know, because it just means that you don't end up spending lots of money and lots of getting very stressed. It's, you know, becoming quite emotional if someone has decided to move on and actually the business is not protected. So, you know, you've maybe spent some time working together and then a close partner moves on and you're then potentially going to be left with a business that's damaged because perhaps there's no restrictions on them being able to set up in competition, and lots of disputes can arise then. And it's much better to put in place at the outset how the business is going to operate, who's got what responsibilities, and all of that can be done very easily at the outset, and then covering off the possibility that if things don't work out, yeah, effectively having almost like a divorce settlement built in into the initial documents.
Very, very sensible and great service to provide. So, Joe, tell us about some of the skill base that's within Lock Associates. So, for example, when it comes to, you know, trademarking, creating a starter pack for employee contracts and policies, and shareholder agreements.
Starting with the starter pack, that's a good starting point for a new business that's just starting to, you know, take on employees. As part of that starter pack, we can provide contracts of employment for both the senior staff at, you know, board level, as well as junior contracts for perhaps, you know, support staff or low level management that you're bringing into your business, as well as, you know, handbooks. Employee handbooks are quite often missed, and they are a really important document that can sort of set out how not only you as a company are operating, but actually how your employees should be operating. And so the starter packs is a good place to start from. Our other services, such as trademarking, we work in-house and we're partners to ensure that we carry out a search for other registered trademarks to avoid any disputes coming in. It can quite often be that there's already something out there that we may need to tweak to ensure that we avoid those disputes arising. It can be quite a lengthy process of ensuring that your trademarks are protected, and then how you demonstrate that on your website, on your letterheads, etc., to ensure that you are protecting those trademarks. As Pam said, as looking, you know, forward, you know, it's always the nature of relationships, human relationships, that disputes do arise. And as I said at the start, I have higher rights of advocacy, which enables us to represent in higher courts. So when we have those issues such as someone's running off and setting up in competition, or there's a dispute arising under a shareholder agreement, that we can provide that litigation support and representation throughout the process. And of course, because we've worked with you in setting up your company, we know those relationships and we know how your business operates. So that really flows into every aspect that we can provide support to you. And it's probably also worth mentioning that not everything has to go through the courts. We also have LOC mediation, and we do advocate that mediation quite often, and especially partnership arrangements can be a really effective means of achieving resolutions to disputes as they arise.
Pam, question for you in terms of business planning. How involved do you get with your clients to help them draw up a business plan at that sort of point of startup?
What we tend to find is that clients have often gone through a process of putting together the business plan with an accountant, and we get a lot of referrals in from accountants because they know that we can work well with their clients. So we often get involved once they've done the business plan and they've been to see their accountants and they're setting up their bank accounts and they're now looking at what else they need to put in place, and so we can work with them on that. And the business plan is important to us because we then get a good understanding of how they see the business moving forward. Now obviously we want the business to succeed, so I know we've talked about disputes, but the reality is that there are a large number of startups that unfortunately don't succeed, and sometimes they succeed second time around because they've learned from their lessons from the first time. But what we do want is the business to succeed, so we're trying to put in place measures to and arrangements and talk to the person about actually where is the business going. And what we can also do is we've got a flexi retainer arrangement, so starting from £300 plus VAT a month, you can get all of the legal services and the other services, HR support, all provided to help you, but it means you can spread the cost. So instead of having all that cost up front, we can agree a way in which we can put together a programme of things we're going to do. Now, there are some things you'll need done initially, but there are other things that you can sort of spread out over a 6 to 12 month period, depending on whether you're going to be taking on some staff immediately or whether that's something that's going to happen a little bit further down the line. So we try to work with clients looking at understanding what they're trying to achieve from the business plan, what their goals and ambitions are, but also try recognising that there's not always the immediate funds available and that actually it would benefit them maybe to spread the cost over a period of time.
That makes it very cost efficient, doesn't it? And affordable. Must be very attractive. In terms of training on director duties and company regulation. And this is the first time we've mentioned COVID, by the way, in this conversation. That must be impacting on how directors' duties and now must be carried out and how to sort of work with COVID compliance with employees. I mean, you almost have to rewrite the rule book on this.
I think in my experience, there are quite a lot of directors that are called directors that are not necessarily company's house directors. So there's a difference. If you're appointed as a company's house, otherwise known as a statutory director, then you've got Companies Act obligations under law that you must comply with. And it's important, therefore, if you do take on that responsibility, you understand these legal obligations. Because unfortunately, if you don't comply with them, then you could face prosecution and potentially criminal penalties as well. And a lot of businesses, the owners might not have fully appreciated their obligations because they set up the business, they were the director at company's house, they've not actually had any training themselves. And if they appoint other people to become a director, they may be in the same situation. So I think it's important to understand your obligations because, as you've highlighted, it's more in our face at the moment, shall we say, but there have always been obligations to look after staff's health and safety, and individuals can be prosecuted. So now with COVID, that's something that's much more apparent because obviously, if you actually want to have a business that functions well, you've got to be reassuring your staff it's safe to work there. But you also have legal obligations as well to ensure it's COVID safe. I think it's always been there. It's just that some people are not aware of their obligations. And I think it's making sure you know what your obligations are, make sure you're meeting them. And then thinking about other things like, do you need additional insurance cover for the directors? So do you need directors and officers insurance, which a lot of people aren't aware exists to protect the individual directors as well. So it's really looking at the business as a whole and from the outset thinking, what do we need to put in place to make sure that this is operating, effectively and not at significant risk as well.
So Joe, in terms of the current challenges for new businesses when they're starting up, what are the sort of the top three challenges right now for business and the hurdles that they need to get over to stand a chance of not failing in the first year, which we know is such a, as Pam mentioned very early on, such a big percentage of new startups fall away in the first year. How can you help to prevent that fallout?
One tip is to have a good understanding as a business of what your unique selling point is. What is it that your service is that sets you out from the rest? And being able to market that efficiently to the local business environment or nationally, depending on what those services are that you provide as a business. I think, secondly, it's also, as a local business ourselves, we have able to refer you on to other businesses which may be able to support you, but you also may be able to support them. Pam currently runs a networking group within Tunbridge Wells, and those sort of support networks can really help new businesses starting out to get to know people.
I know it well and fully endorse it.
And finally, I think it's also being able to carry out training within your own business to ensure that as you take employees in, that they also understand what it is that you're trying to achieve as a business and how you promote yourself outwards, and also involve them in those decisions too. Because, of course, if your team's on board, that will help you succeed at board level too.
I mean, one of the other things I think that we've experienced is people not understanding what the roles are in a business. And now you might think that's obvious, but actually that can become a problem, especially with a smaller business. To some extent, it's a lot of all hands on deck initially, but it's important that people understand what they're expected to do and they're clear on what their job, I'll use the word job description, is, but it's important that what they know their roles and responsibilities are. So, quite often we'll come across a business where they haven't got contracts of employment, they haven't got service agreements or senior employment contracts, which have got things like restrictions in it to protect the business. But fundamentally, it sometimes isn't clear what the person's role is, and then that can cause issues in terms of being able to develop the business, because there might be overlap, there may be confusion. So it's trying to, I'm going to use that word again, streamline everything so it's quite clear who does what and who's responsible for it, and then that just makes a massive difference to trying to help a business be successful.
Can totally appreciate that, and it's down to leadership, isn't it, to actually ensure that people are clear and that your staff, your managers, your directors, fully understanding of the roles that they've got and the roles that their teams should be undertaking as well. Do you think it's down to leadership?
Absolutely. I mean, I think entrepreneurs, they often come up with the ideas. Some of them are fantastic leaders, but quite often they're not necessarily leaders as well. And I think if you've got an entrepreneur and you've got somebody that's got the leadership skills, then you're set, because you've got a good package. But equally, we can get involved in training a staff to try and develop the leadership skills. So you might be taking somebody on at a more junior level, you see developing, we can help them develop into what you need them to be in terms of that leader. And in the early stages, when it's quite small, obviously it's less important because you've not got a lot of staff to lead. But as you add on staff, and that includes self-employed consultants, because they need to, to some extent know, what's going on in the business, who to talk to, etc., and who does what. So it's important you've got a structure in place that people can operate within, but also, yeah, absolutely, having somebody lead in from the top is absolutely critical.
And Joe, I guess when clients come to you at this stage, do you actually have some sort of insight into how good that person is going to be in terms of leading their business? It's a difficult one, isn't it? How do you spot that, and how can you help them along to become a better leader?
One thing I certainly notice being introduced to new clients is getting an understanding of where they've come from. I mean, sorry to mention the word COVID again, but there's been a real increase in new startups during the COVID pandemic. And actually, there are a lot of experienced individuals who are now starting out on their own pathway of their own new startup business. And they already bring a lot of skills that they've learned over their career to be able to put in place to use within their new startup. But then you also get the other side, where you've got someone who maybe is just starting at the forefront of their professional working lives and are heading out into a new startup business on their own. And I think those are perhaps where that support is needed further. And as Pam said, we can offer that training and that guidance as to how to develop into guiding your business and your employees and staff as they come in going forward. But even for those experienced, it may be they've not sat at board level before. And one thing that we quite like to do is training at board level, not only about all your legal duties, but also just how to act and to deal with those board meetings, which sometimes can be tricky things to attend.
So Pam, have you got a case study, very briefly, of a business that approached you during this lockdown period from March a year ago that have actually gone through the hurdles and are actually on their way to achieving a good first year of success?
They've started around September, October time, but what we've actually got are existing businesses that work with us, and we provide HR support to them as well as employment law advice, who've actually transformed their business. So rather than setting up a new business, what they've done is completely transform it. But it was almost akin to a startup again, except they did have some staff, but they've had to get the staff to change into different roles. That, for me, is probably more a transformation. In terms of startups, we have had startups that are in the retail sector. So they started around September, October time, but unfortunately, you know, they've then not been able to operate since then. So it's going to be interesting to see how, well, first of all, they're still surviving, which is great. But then we sort of paused and we'll start working with them again once they get through this process. So it's going to be, you know, it's one of these sort of, it's probably too early to tell in some instances. But, you know, for me, I think it's been fantastic how existing businesses, both small and bigger ones, have been able to really try and innovate and continue to operate throughout this period of time. You know, in terms of how people, whether we can identify whether they're going to be a success or not, I mean, there's a number of factors come into play on that. The key thing is the individual, but also, you know, our HR consultants and the lawyers, we build up a relationship with clients. So we check in, and what we want to do is be able to, I suppose, be somebody that the clients can feel they can actually talk to. So if they have got an issue, that they sort of offload and we can help. So as a result of doing that, we can then identify, if we haven't already, that there's maybe something that needs to be done to help the business, you know, be successful and develop. So that's part of what we regard as our role, is to really build a relationship with the business, try and, you know, understand the owner and understand how they operate, to be able to identify anything that we think they should be thinking about putting in place. And that might mean recruiting somebody else to be a leader, or it may mean that actually, you know, in 6 months' time, identifying that actually someone that you thought was very good is actually not right for the business. They might be right in another setting, but they're not right in that business. And it's then how to sort of enable the pattern of way, shall we say, as amicably as possible. Because it can be quite detrimental to a business if they have a fallout in an early period just after starting up. But that isn't unusual. But yeah, there's lots of successes about, but you've got to be prepared for the possibility it may not be, and just, you know, be ready to address that. And we'd like to be proactive in helping you do that.
It sounds like you really do go that extra mile, actually.
We do care. We want clients to be successful, because, and we don't necessarily want them having disputes, but we want them to be successful because then, you know, hopefully they'll develop a long-term relationship with us that results in us being able to contribute to that success. And I get a buzz out seeing clients doing well.
It's a great feeling, isn't it? All around, mutually. And I guess, you know, it's how you can inspire people. They might look to you for more inspiration than you're able to give them, but it's how to inspire people to stay positive, and they can instill that positivity within their staff. I mean, coming out of this period now, people have got to be so focused and positive and have full belief that they can succeed. The attitude of mind is right at the forefront, isn't it, of this?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And I mean, I think, you know, I started up as a startup in 2007. It was bad timing because just about 6 months later, obviously, we went into the credit crunch and a recession. The HR business wasn't doing particularly well then because businesses weren't investing in HR. And in fact, HR and marketing were the two jobs that were being removed. So I managed to get the business over that. We've now got, you know, a successful HR business because I think businesses have recognised it's a minefield. It's better to invest in HR, you know, get the right people on board to be able to have a successful business. But I can empathise with a lot of what businesses are going through, because I remember going through what used to be known as a BT shunt, because at that time BT was really the main supplier of broadband. And there was lots of issues with it, and you used to get stuck on the phone for an hour and a half talking about it, trying to get it fixed. And obviously when you're trying to run a business, and at that time I was on my own, that hour and a half in a day was a long time and valuable time that you spent on the phone trying to sort out your IT. So, you know, I've learned a lot. I continue to learn a lot, but, you know, I can totally empathise. And it is about having that positive mindset, recognise that you can learn from things that go wrong, but try and learn before they go wrong. And that's obviously where we try to step in and be proactive so we can, you know, help them be as successful as they should be.
Joe, just coming to you now as a sort of a final wrap-up for this podcast, which has been absolutely fascinating. Could you tell us about the free consultation process that you would offer a business on an initial contact with you? What can Lock Associates offer?
So our free consultation we offer as an introduction for us to meet you and for you to meet us. And we use that time to, you know, first of all, really understand who you are, what your business is going to be and what you're aiming to do, and really work through some of the issues that are needing to be considered at that stage, and sort of agreeing the next steps as well that you are going to have to carry out in terms of starting up your business and starting trading. And usually at those initial meetings, we can then agree a sort of a plan of action which, you know, we can assist with. And as Pam's mentioned already in this podcast, that one of the great offerings we have is the idea of the Flexi Retainer. And that's giving you a cost-effective way of engaging us as a group of services to help you on that initial pathway.
Thank you, Joe. And would you like to just remind the listeners in terms of what the website address is and how people can make contact with Lock Associates?
Of course. So our website, www.lockassociates.co.uk. We have offices in London, Tunbridge Wells and Brighton. And all our contact details can be found on our website.
Thank you very much. I've been with Pam Locke and Joe Milner of Lock Associates Group today. Please listen out for the next podcast in the series of podcasts that we're producing.
Thank you for listening to this Lock Associates Group podcast. For more information about our award-winning team and why our services are shaped to meet your business needs, please go to lockassociates.co.uk.